In case you didn't know, the word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. You have the answer on the inside of you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And at times, is it all right if I just go a little bit here, if I follow my heart? At times, the answer is not found out here. It's not found with somebody's opinion or a pro and a con list. The answer's found on the inside. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the greater one, is on the inside. And the Bible says he's put there to show you things to come. He only speaks that which he hears from the Father. He hears the mind of the Lord, speaks it to our heart. So while you're out here searching, the answer's down in here, praise God. So if you're stumped and you don't know the answer, it's not in a pro and a con list, it's not in Wikipedia, it's not in Google, it's not in some professor, maybe some answers are, the pterodactyl thing, you got that from me, praise the Lord. But most of the stuff that we don't know is found inside if we take the opportunity to fellowship with him.
Amen.
Praise his holy name forevermore. One minister said it this way. He said, the body of Christ ought to be the most intelligent people group on the face of the earth. Why? We have a fortune teller on the inside. We have a revealer of secrets living on the inside. And the problem is, and don't miss this, the problem is most people don't take any time to get to know him. Most people don't take any time to get quiet and to hear what he's saying. Everybody can hear the voice of God if you'll make time for it. God's a revealer. He's not a show and tell. He's a show and tell God, not a keeper of secrets. He's a show and tell God. He's a revealer. He said, call on me. The phone number of God is found in Jeremiah. It says, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. He's going to show them to you in your heart. Praise God. So whoever here, you're stumped in whatever you're doing in life, whether it's business, whether it's a relationship, whether it's something with your children, fill in the blank. The answer's inside. Praise God. And a lot of times, because it doesn't fulfill our flesh and our carnal minds, we run to people. We run to the natural because that appeases that pressure and that appeases that stress for a short time. But oftentimes, we don't get the right answers. We'll always get the right answer if we'll take time to fellowship with the great I am. He's already been to your future and back.
Yeah, praise you, Father.
You didn't hear what I just said, because if you did, you'd already be way more excited.
Yeah.
He's already been to your future and back. That means he already knows every turn, every twist, every hill, everything to avoid. He already knows it.
Yeah.
If you'll take time to fellowship with him. Amen. Well, dismissed. Don't you dare say amen. Amen, Pastor. Glory to God. No, I'm just kidding. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 6. I'll tell you what, that's called prophecy. Not supernatural, not foretelling prophecy, but that's called prophecy, where supernatural exhortation, edification, and comfort come up. And some of it may have been a word of knowledge. Some of it may have been a word of wisdom, depending on what people needed to hear. And so praise God for those kind of things. Keep seeking those things, church. Because I had nothing in my notes or in my head to share anything along those lines, but it sure blessed somebody in here today. Me, bless me. It was for me. Praise God. Well, Matthew 6, let's pray. Father, we love you today. We're so grateful to be here. So thankful, Father. Bless everyone for coming out during this time, holidays, busy time, family in town, and things like that. Father, they put you first. And so we don't just come here to check off some box of some religious consciousness thing. No, we're just excited to be in church to hear from heaven. This is our visitation from you. So, Father, we thank you so much for what's about to be said. Father, help me to say it right. Help me to speak it forth with life. Father, your words, not my words. Father, that I'd speak as the Holy Ghost, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, Father, but I want to speak as the oracles of God this morning. Father, people need to hear from you, not from me. And Lord, I thank you for help. I thank you for change. Thank you for revelation and direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, these messages are always fun. And what I mean by that is, when I get bombarded and I get beat up like I have in the past few weeks about what the Lord wants me to share and the devil trying to push me off of it, it's usually when people end up being helped the most. And so I know what's going to happen today. The devil's going to mess with my mind, but I'm going to preach what God has said to preach. And then people are going to come up to me and say, I needed to hear that. I promise it'll happen. Praise God. I hope you brought your steel toes. Amen. I'm just going to, these messages, I just would prefer, actually, during Christmas time, Lord, just give me fluff. Let's just sing about gingerbread man and men and Santa Claus and stuff like that. Let's just talk about that kind of stuff. But we have to obey our hearts. Amen. And we are in the right place at the right time. And the word is never grievous. The word is for our help. Praise God. And maybe I'm just laying it on so thick right now, so it's easier going down. But I just believe we're all hungry for God here this morning. But Matthew 6 and verse 33, I want to read a verse. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Heather, can you please pull that up in the Amplified? If you don't have one, we'll have it up on the screen for you. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after. First of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. Now look at what it says in the parentheses about his righteousness. His way, everybody say his way.
His way.
His way of doing and being right. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Well, all these things that they're talking about, and you can go back to the King James, Heather. All these things that they're talking about, if you look in the verses before, are all the things you need in life. All the natural things to be successful. Well, the Bible says that you need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, what's his righteousness? His way of doing and being right. You know, I started, I told you I started hunting with a group of Amish friends a few years ago down in Ohio. And I'll be honest, I thought that I had high standards when it came to hunting. And what I mean by that is scent control and the latest and greatest products, you know, what to do going to a tree stand with deer scent and how to lay that on the ground and what to do when I get to my stand, what to do while I'm in my stand. And I thought I had pretty high standards until I hunted with these guys and I started to realize that's why my wall looks like this. And their wall, you go into their archery shop and I was around them for the first year, and I couldn't believe all the little things that to me I just kind of overlooked, was never taught, didn't know. And I saw, my goodness, if I'm going to get to where they are, I'm going to have to pick up the pace. And so the first year I kind of lagged behind and was just lost. The second year I came prepared, and I had more encounters with, you know, just things that probably normally wouldn't have happened to me before, because I would have been lollygagging in the tree stand. I mean, you should see me up there sometimes. I get so bored and things like that. But anyways, and laying scent and which ways to walk in and which ways to play the wind and all these crazy things that I didn't think mattered. But yet they say, oh, this is how we get them. And so I had to bring my standards up. See, I was ignorant. And a lot of people grew up in different ways. A lot of people come from different backgrounds. A lot of people come from different churches. And a lot of people come from a different set of standards. This message really kind of dropped into my heart strongly about 2 weeks ago. Maybe a little less, I'm not sure. And it's something that's kind of been on the radar a little bit that I knew was off in the distance, and it's for this time today. And a lot of people come from different places and different backgrounds and things, and come in with different ideas, different sets of morals, different sets of standards. And a lot of times people come in with a pure heart. They do. They come in with a pure heart. And motives may be pure. But their standards may be when God's standards. And the Bible says, now this is what I need you to get before we go on. The Bible says for you to be in the heavenly order, it's to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, which his righteousness is his way of doing and being right. Setting up your life for his standards, not your standards. And then when you do his standards, notice, and because you did that, all these things, then there's an addition. And we talk about seeking him at times in the sense of making sure we're in our visitation, making sure he doesn't become like a ghost to us when we leave here on Sunday morning and we don't pick him back up till Sunday morning and we go a whole week without. We talk about that. We talk about living by faith. But one thing that needs to be mentioned is we need to seek after the way he does things. His standards are where it's at. We don't try to make this fit us. We make this fit this.
Amen.
And that's the result of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so God's heart for laying this on to my heart and my heart to be obedient to preach it to your hearts is because I want to see people blessed. We already know here that God is not a God of condemnation.
Right.
We already know here that nobody in this place is perfect. And if you think that you are, we'll pray for that lion spirit. We'll cast that lion devil right out of you. Praise God. We know that's the truth. We know that the things we do wrong, there's forgiveness for. We know that God's merciful. So when these things come up and when they come across and we think, okay, I could make an adjustment there. It's not for us to get out the hammer and beat ourselves silly over the head. It's, oh, God's trying. See, to go up, you're going to have to give up.
Yeah.
To go up, you're going to have to give up. And for me, the rise that I've been out, I mean this private, I mean just being from where I was. I'm not saying I'm at anywhere high. I'm saying from where I was, I'm a lot higher than the standards and what I was. But the things that I used to do that, praise God, there was forgiveness for, and the standards that I used to have, and the ideas that I used to have, there's no way I could have drugged those along with me to be standing in this place today. You just can't do that. God wants to burn off the chaff. God wants to get rid of all the extra stuff that's not helping you. The Bible says to run our race, to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. He's saying that. He wants us to run after Him. Well, I know this, that when I watch the Olympics and they get in the starting block, I've yet to see a runner with a dumbbell or a barbell attached to their leg. In fact, they wear the least amount of clothes, shave off all their body hair. I mean, they're just as ready as can be, right? To run as fast as they can. They've stripped aside everything that they possibly can. And the Bible says for you to do the same thing in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing that we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. So not only is he saying the things, sin is wrong, there might be weights in your life that are holding you back. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we're not going to hit everything. What we're going to do is I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost and address the things that he wants us to share here this morning.
Amen.
Because there's a whole host of things and different things that people go through and encounter. But I need to be obedient to the Holy Ghost because we're a specific group of people here. We're not the whole body of Christ. We're a specific body of Christ that needs to hear specific things. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, and it's amazing, like I said, the attack that you get in your mind about these messages. It's because, and you see a lot of churches that are springing up in this country that are taking off at record paces, they won't mention anything about living holy. They won't talk about tithing. They won't talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. They won't talk about how faith is your responsibility. They call them seeker-sensitive churches. What they are is where people gather and they just get fluff and are told everything's going to be okay and everything's going to be wonderful. That's true if you do your part. If you don't do your part, the Bible is very clear that it will not turn out okay for you. It's just the truth, and people need to hear that. But see, that's not fun to hear. It's more fun to just show up and be able to do whatever you want with your money, be whatever, oh, just live however you want. There's grace. That's nice to the ears and nice to the flesh. It's not good to your spirit and it won't be good for your life in the future.
Right.
It just won't be. And the devil would love to pull people off this. But see, I want to read something to you. Because this is God's way today. We're not doing anything that's not the will of your Father that you love and look to. We have gotten so bogged down in the body of Christ with the grace message that we have overloaded on grace to almost think that there's no ever balance of talking about living right and doing things right just because grace will take care of it all. But that's not what the Word says. Grace is there for when our human nature messes up and we screw up, and grace is there every single time. Grace is not there for us to take advantage of and to do, and well, we just live however we want. No, that's dangerous because the Bible says the wages of that is death. That verse hasn't changed. Thank God for the mercy, and I encourage you when you do trip and stumble and fall and mess up, get back into the will of God. Get it under the blood as soon as possible. Amen?
Amen.
Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I mean, with an intro like that, you know this is going to be a doozy. Glory to God. Where's the popcorn? That would be a show today. Praise His name. No, I say that jokingly because, you know, God just loves everybody.
Amen.
But remember, you can't pray for bold preaching and then when you get it, be upset about it. Paul said, pray for me that my speech and preaching would be with boldness. See, I'm so thankful that someone had the guts to stand up and the boldness to tell me everything I was doing wrong so I could start working on those things because those things were hurting me. I'm so thankful that someone wasn't afraid of losing church members and that the seats being up. I could give a rip if we have the biggest or the smallest church in this town. Doesn't matter to me. I just want to take the ones that we have to the highest level we can go.
Amen?
And we will never get there with this without doing this. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 1. I'm going to read the whole thing down through verse 16. Listen to these words. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. He's talking to Christians. Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, oh, I could read these verses all day long, has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our hope.
Amen.
To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom now you see Him not, yet believing you rejoice with a joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even of the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, which it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and of the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now get ready for verse 13. Jeff, can you crack that door, please? I don't want y'all roasting in here. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, sir. Wherefore, because all this happened, all that Jesus did for you, the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. It's important to think right. Be sober and hope to the end for this grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Now, here comes the standards thing. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, which means not conforming to what? To the former lusts in your ignorance. He says, as a Christian, come up higher. As a Christian, you're no longer... Go ahead, sir. As a Christian, thank you. As a Christian, you're no longer down here. You're now called to a higher place. And look at what it says. But as a former lust in your ignorance, but as He which called you is holy... Now remember, this is the Bible. He that has called you is holy... Be so you be holy in all manner of conversation. That means behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is unpopular in the body. It will not be unpopular here. But we will not preach it from an angle of condemnation and to bash you because that's not the spirit in which it's meant to be preached. It's meant to be preached in a fashion of, listen, what those things that need to come up higher, God's trying to raise you up and those weights are holding you down. So if you start to sense condemnation here today, that's just the devil trying to twist this message. Because I'm certainly not condemning you. Because I'm standing with you telling you I'm not perfect either. I'm standing with you and telling you that I need the mercy, that I need the grace, that I need the blood just as much as you do. Amen?
Amen.
And if I'm going to keep going higher, I'm going to have to keep cutting things off and letting things go. Praise God. So that's God's standard, holiness. But he didn't just say, you figure it out. He said, my holiness, his righteousness, not me personally, but him. He says, be holy for I am holy. That is a unction from the Father calling you higher. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Praise God.
Amen.
This is our New Year's message.
Yep.
Going higher in 2016.
Amen.
Going higher and getting all... See, the Bible says this. Many are called, few are chosen.
Right.
One of the main reasons few aren't chosen is because... one of the reasons few are chosen and many are called, but only few get picked, is because they have yet to lay aside... They have yet to humble themselves. They have yet to consecrate themselves to the will and the plan of God. They have kicked and kicked and kicked against it. But that's what Paul was doing when he was murdering Christians at Saul of Tarsus. And Jesus said, Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks of his heart. You can keep denying and pushing aside all these things and keep trying to hold on to former things. But I'll tell you what, it's going to get old, getting pricked. And constantly being filled with shame. And constantly being, oh, I need to change. Just change. Just change, Paul said. He said, it's hard to kick against you. He's saying, Paul, just give it up. Life will be a lot better, Paul, when you give it up. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13 says this. He says, for this cause, Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, he says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, you heard it of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Twofold. This morning when you receive this message, this isn't just some dude up here telling you how to live your life. This is God telling you how to live your life. Now, I'm not saying I'm God, but what I'm speaking is God.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. But also, praise God, this tells us what our standard in life ought to be, which is the word. The standards that we're preaching is not some man-made ideas and philosophies. This is what God is saying for your life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right. 2 Timothy, we don't need to turn there, in 3 and verse 16 says that all Scripture is given by God. The Amplified says in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed.
Amen.
If it's in there, God meant it for it to be in there. For you to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if the Word is our standard, when we encounter things in the Word, it's our job to adjust.
Hey, that's right.
Because the Bible says you're stupid if you don't. And I didn't say that, the Bible did.
Amen.
Matthew 7 and verse 24 says, the foolish man builds his house upon a sand. He said, they that hear the Word and don't do it are foolish people. You know what one cinnamon? You know what one cinnamon of foolish is? Stupid. Stupid just gets the point across. Foolish sounds too nice.
Right.
When you don't do the word of God, the Bible says the wind and the storm and the waves come and beat on your house that you built on the sand by not doing the word, and you crumble and crash, and great is the fall of it.
Yeah.
The Bible says the ones that are blessed are the ones that do the word of God. That's what James says.
Yeah.
Blessed are they that do the word of God and not hear it only. And so when you hear something in the word... Now remember, you have to understand, the word is found in two places. It's found in the written word, and it's found in the spoken word in your heart.
Amen.
The word that the Holy Ghost would say to you on the inside. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And so we make adjustments. Praise God. Philippians 3 and verse 20. And then we're going to get to some things that the Lord wants me to share. Philippians 3 and verse 20 says, for our conversation, that word in the King James, if you look that up, is citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven. Praise God. I don't know if you know this or not, but you are strangers in a strange land.
Right.
America is not your home.
Right.
Heaven's your home. America is your rental. Your house is your rental. I don't care if your name's on the deed. It's your rental because it will not be yours forever. Heaven will be yours forever.
Hallelujah.
You're a foreigner in this place. Traveling and wandering through a foreign land. Well, look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Lots of verses, but you need to see the word. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. He loves you. He wants you to go higher.
Thank you, Lord.
He's not trying to hurt you. And if you just don't let anybody, nobody will know we're talking about you. Right?
Yeah.
Just amen me all service, and people think, oh, they must be having everything right. They're happy and amen in him. Of course, that's kind of a joke. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 says, now then we, who are we? We're foreigners. Aren't we strangers in a strange land? We are ambassadors for Christ. In this land that we live as foreigners, we're ambassadors. You know what an ambassador does? They represent the land that they came from. When an American ambassador goes to France or goes to, you know, wherever, Spain, whatever, they're there representing the United States of America. And they need to do it in a right fashion or they'll get removed from that. They can't just act and talk and live any way they want to. Why? They're representing something important. Ladies and gentlemen, what an honor and a privilege to carry the badge of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
To go out into the world as His representative.
Yeah,
to go out into the world and to show the world this is who He is.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you right now, before we get into it, are you happy with the Jesus that you've been showing the people, this is who He is, just look at me. Because you're His ambassador. Because when people in the foreign land see those ambassadors, they see a rude ambassador. Oh, United States. That's how people are. I mean, you go to New York City and one person's rude to you, you'll come home and say, people in New York City are rude. Well, it's one person. You go to a Bills game and one Bills fan dumped a beer on you. Bills fans are jerks. 1,000,000 out of 80,000. But that's how much influence it has. How much more for Jesus? Because the world being influenced by the devil is just looking to pounce on the Christian. They're looking for every accusation. They're looking for every opportunity. When are you going out into the world as His representative in this foreign land?
Oh, that's good.
Praise God.
Amen.
Jeez, Pastor, Merry Christmas to you.
Praise God.
The Bible says that a city set on a hill, a city on a hill is meant to be shined with light. And the Bible says that you are the light of the world. You're shining bright somehow. You're attracting attention just because the world's a dark place, but you stick out like a sore thumb spiritually because you're light. If in the spirit realm, the devil is darkness, you are so full of light as a Christian. You stand out. If we turned all the lights off, blocked all the blinds and the windows, made it pitch black in here, and lit a match, guess what would stand out?
Yeah.
That match would stand out.
Yeah.
You stand out in this world. That's why it's so important to go forth and represent Him right. Again, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that He's looking for our perfection, but it means that we look to grow.
Yeah.
And to leave formal things behind, and we should get better.
Yes, right.
We ought not to be kicking around the same things that we were kicking around when we were unsaved.
Yeah.
And if we are, we ought to be moving past those things.
Right.
And if we are still struggling, we ought to be getting better, and we ought to be striving for those things.
Yeah.
Not just, well, everybody sins, and everybody does it wrong, and this is just my thing. Stop it.
Right. That's right.
I'll just keep holding on to my thing that's causing death in my life. That's wages of sin, absolutely. Well, anyways, is how we're living glorifying Christ? Is it glorifying God? You know, the Word is our standard, and it's our litmus test. Does our life look like this? But remember, 1 John 3:20 says, if your heart condemns you not, you have confidence towards God. If your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence towards God. You're ashamed. It's not just the Word of God. See, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing that you have to understand. Not everything is found in the Bible. The Bible does not tell me, Pastor Mike, do not eat the number 9 from Taco Bell every single day of your life. It doesn't tell me that, but my heart tells me not to do that.
That's right, yeah.
And I have to obey that.
Yeah. That's good.
Oh, it does.
That's good.
And see, there's a lot of things. Well, find me a verse for it. Your heart.
Yeah.
Your heart.
Yeah.
What's your heart saying about those things, right? Praise God.
Amen.
And a lot of times, you won't find a specific verse, but your heart will be telling you, knock that off. Don't do that. Stop that. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
He just loves us.
Amen. Good work, man.
Like I said, about 2 weeks ago that this really came strongly on me. I didn't know what to do. with stuff that was coming to me, and it was coming on my heart. I didn't know what to do with it. And I sought God, and He showed me, and this is the manifestation of what I'm supposed to do. Amen. You'll help us. So, 1 Timothy 1:19 says, you'll shipwreck your life if you violate your conscience. You'll shipwreck your life if you violate your conscience. What is that? Not following your heart. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Oh, I guess every meal Taco Bell for me, it's not in here. It's in here.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the word, just as much as this is.
Sure.
It's true. Hallelujah. See, you can't point to... Here's a great example. Pastor Tim knows in his heart, God told him, don't you go pursuing being a sailor ever again. He got a sailing license, had a sailboat, would go out on Lake Erie, had plans to sail the world. But that wasn't God's plans. Now see, other Christians might have no check in their heart to operate a sailboat. But he does, and so he has to obey that.
Amen.
Amen? And we have to obey our hearts. Glory to God. Well, are you ready? And these are just some things that the Lord has put on my heart to share today to be a blessing, and that I believe we'll be able to find some help in these. Marriages. Woo! Get ready. If you say, I'm not married, well, you need to learn this stuff before you are.
Come on.
Yeah. Marriages. Let me just say it this way. The world has way different standards when it comes to marriage than the church has. Way different standards. You'll find in marriages, in the world standards, and maybe you've come out of the world, and maybe you're doing things that in your heart, your motives are right. You know that, well, I always say it this way. I'll bring this up again. You know that there might be a 16-year-old girl in the church that needs help. And I know that I can help her. And I could take her out to dinner by myself, and my motives could be right, but motives cannot cover up wrong actions. It would be inappropriate for me to do that, even though my motives are right. And your motives might be completely right, but you came out of some wrong standards. And it's holding you back. And maybe the Lord will deal with you today. Praise God. Everybody relax. It's going to be okay. But a lot of marriages in the world are selfish marriages. People are selfish. There's a lot of casualness in marriages. And I frankly, in the body of Christ, I don't just mean in this church, I have to sometimes chuckle within myself when people tell me, yeah, I want a good marriage, and then I hear some of the things that they do.
Yeah.
And how they treat each other. And I think, okay, good luck with that then. Good luck with getting a good marriage, living how you're living. It's not going to happen. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Pastor Mike, didn't know you were so mean. I didn't either. I'm as surprised as you this morning. You already gave me my Christmas gifts. Notice how I waited. Maybe it'll be cold next year from all of you. Because we're not losing people over this message. You'll all be here. Because we love being corrected here. Why? Because the Bible says if you're corrected, you're loved. So if you like to be loved, then you like to be corrected. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, likewise, you husbands. Now, you have to understand that word likewise means similarly or in the same way. So he says, likewise, husbands. He's also talking to wives here. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I want to read that in a few different translations, so just listen up. In the NIV, it says, husbands, now remember, this goes for wives too, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. The Message Bible says the same goes for you, husbands, the same. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them, delight in them. The two things that are needed most to be a successful marriage are honor and love. Now, you'll find generally that the man requires more honor, and that the woman, generally, this isn't in all cases, but generally, the man will require more honor and respect, the woman will always require more love, just generally. But that doesn't mean that the man should still not honor and respect his wife, and that the woman should still not love her husband. Just because, generally speaking, the man needs more respect, the woman needs more love, we all need love and honor. If people would conduct their marriages with honor and with love, they'd be successful. Absolutely, they'd be successful. But some reason, sometimes, because of people's standards and have lowered standards and maybe just don't have the right motives, they do things that sabotage their marriages. You know that I won't meet with a woman by myself. Now, after church, I might have you, if you have a meeting and you want to come to the office with people coming back and forth, but I'll never come to a meeting with a woman by myself. Number one, it's inappropriate, and it looks bad. I don't care how trustworthy you are. It's not because I don't trust you. It's not because I don't trust me. It's just because it just doesn't look right. I remember one time we had to have service down in the mustard seed when we were over there. I don't know, it was like the heat went out over in the storefront. It was really cold over there. Well, they had heat, and they let us use their restaurant, and so it was like... It was something below zero that day outside. It was awful. And there was a lady that's completely trustworthy that was starting to walk down to the mustard seed. I said, here, take my vehicle, I'll walk. And she said, no, I'm going to walk. But the point was, we refused even from there to there. I wasn't going to be seen, because all it takes is one person to see Pastor with another young lady in the front seat. And see, what my heart is to reach people, not to hinder them. So, oh, you're just crazy. Yeah, you're right. I'm crazy about people not going to hell, and I'll do whatever it takes.
Amen. Praise God.
But I won't meet with another woman by myself. I don't know why I won't even meet in church with a woman by myself. Because it's not honorable to her.
That's right. Yeah.
It's not honorable to her. I'll tell you what, the Bible says neither give place to the devil.
Yeah.
Your motives might be right, but are you giving place to the devil to work on your spouse?
Wow.
Let me just say it this way. The day another woman comes to my house when my wife's not home is the day she calls my pastor and tells on me immediately. The day I'm hanging out with other women in private and doing things, I don't care what my motives are. The thoughts that could give her. I'll tell you what, if I come home and she's hanging out with another guy, oh, just friends. The thoughts the devil's going to give me, it's going to hurt your marriage. And if you want your marriage to go high, you've got to show honor to one another. There's an appropriate way to conduct yourselves in a marriage. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'll follow my heart. It's not even in my notes.
That's good.
Ladies, how you dress matters.
Amen.
Your body, women, is not meant to be seen by everybody.
That's right.
Your body is meant to be seen by one set of eyes only. That's your husband.
Amen.
And if you don't have a husband, nobody's meant to be seeing your body.
Yeah, that's good.
But see, I know a lot of people come from the wrong stand. They come from different standards. And the world is pumping it into our children and our young girls that if you don't dress skimpy and scantily and show everything, that nobody's going to like you. I'll tell you what, one of the reasons I was so attracted to her is because of her modesty. That was beautiful to me, modesty. It's not attractive the other way. And it's not right. And I'll tell you what, the thoughts that you'll give your husband, because, and let me just say it this way, when you dress inappropriately, listen, your job is not to make sure everybody doesn't sin. If you're an attractive person and someone looks at you and lusts over you and you're dressed properly, that's not your fault. But if you're dressed scantily and they look at you and lust over you, it's not completely your fault, but you're not helping the cause. You're not helping the cause. I'm not, going this, some people have gone so far and say, well, that's the reason women are abused. No. The reason women are abused is because people are idiots. That doesn't make somebody abuse a woman, but it can cause a man to have trouble in his thought life. And you don't want to be a stumbling block for somebody. You don't want to be a reason. And so keep your body pure for your husband. Keep yourself clothed for only him to see. And if you're not married, ladies, dress modestly. A godly man will find you.
Oh,
he will, I'll tell you. We'll get to that in a second, so you just hold on. For those of you that are unmarried and fall asleep on me, you just hold on. Honor. Honor. I don't want to do anything that would cause her to have bad thoughts and the wrong thoughts. And I might be perfectly... I don't have any wrong thoughts or motives. You could come over to my house and hang out, and I have the perfect motives, but what the devil would do, and it's just not, doesn't look right. It doesn't look right. Oh, Pastor, I bet you if you've talked to your spouse, Or I bet if you flip the roles and said, you go out and do that, and I'll do that for a little while and tell me what thoughts you get. You'll see. Going up higher, praise God. So casual and selfish in marriages at times. Honor and love. We're to honor each other. Don't do things that, if I'm doing something that's completely right, but it's really bothering her, because I love her, I'm going to change that thing. Right? I'm not going to just keep doing something, just bless God. What happened to love and peace and being sweet and being kind to one another? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is hitting bullseyes here today. Praise the Lord. How are you? You like that, buddy? Over there giggling. Children, what are your standards in raising your kids? Proverbs 22 and verse 6. I'll tell you, you talk about people's children and their money, and the holy hush sets in the congregation. It's slowly moving in the building. I just love people.
Amen.
How do you raise your children? Proverbs 22 and verse 6. You know, we won't hit everything here today, only what the Holy Ghost has highlighted. But I will say this, any action or a thing that you do, if you can't find verse for it, and if it's violating your heart, just don't do it. God's just trying to bring you up higher, amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Here we go. Train! Everybody say train!
Train!
Vinny, let me ask you a question. You're a bodybuilder. Is training always fun? Does it always feel good? Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's over, he will not depart. Not buddy up with them. Not give in to every whim and thing that they want. Train them. You will be... God is looking at you. Now, and we need to say this. If you've had where you didn't know this in the past, you just repent for it and go on like it never happened. That's faith. And that's what God's expecting you. But I'm talking about right now, you have an opportunity. You better train your children right. What is being instilled in your children? I'm going to ask you, what are you instilling in your kids? Because what you sow into them is what they're going to reap.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to tell you the truth. In the body of Christ, church is always second, third, and fourth to most parents. Ball games and hobbies and dance and cheerleading, all these things dominate a person's life. If that's what you want from your child to reap, you go ahead and keep doing that. I'm going to keep putting my kids under the Word of God, and they're going to reap life. No baseball bat, no football is going to get him to where he needs to be with God. Now, if he wants to do those things, absolutely, but not before the house of God. You say, well, it's easy for you to say, just watch. Just watch. It'll happen. Praise God. We will not. God has done too much for me to ever lower my standards. He's getting, see, he doesn't know the way of God yet. Abby doesn't know. So it's my job as a parent to put them in, just like someone that goes on the show, The Biggest Loser. They're in that show because they don't know how to take care of their bodies. Something has gotten lost along the way. They don't know how to, they're so overwhelmed, they don't know how to fix the problem. So they come to the trainer who says, oh, I'll get you right. And they put them in a place. And it's not always fun for them, but if they'll listen, and it won't always be fun for my children. Training is not always fun, but guess what? I never asked for his opinion. I had one person tell me this, and I couldn't figure it out until he spoke. This was in our church. He said, my daughter's off doing this and that, and we gave her the choice to keep doing it. I said, she's not in a position to choose for herself. She's a child. She can't make these decisions. She might think she can. But your job's to train her. Not to, well, honey, what would you like to choose? Oh, yeah, your child will walk right off a cliff then.
Yeah.
Hey, Caleb, you just choose how whatever you want to do. Eat whatever you want, buddy. Just do whatever you want on Sunday mornings. You know, you get money. Do whatever you want with it. No, I'm the one that's going to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Train up your child in the way that they should go when they're older. They will not depart. Ephesians chapter 6. Whew. We're getting through this. I just love people so much. High standards, godly standards.
Amen.
Tell you, some people someday are going to be sorely upset that they didn't put Jesus first in their children's lives. And those parents that are, let me tell you something, you are going to reap such good things. You are going to reap such things that other people's kids are going to go through that yours will not have to go through. And you'll witness it. And you'll see it. And your kids will be spared. Because when they get older, they will not depart, the Bible says. He does not have a choice if he comes to church. He loves church. In fact, last night, his family, they were at her parents, and a lot of them are Catholic and go to Catholic church and things, which is just way different, you know. And the one teenager was really trying to get out of it. Did not want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. They can always, because I'm playing with the kids. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to church. And Caleb's like, I'll go. But my point is, he doesn't have a choice. This is where they're going because I know what's best for them. I'm to train them. Ephesians 6, are you ready, kids? There's some kids in here. Kids, listen up. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And look at the blessing that you get for doing that. Verse 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, here it is. Now, if you don't want this, you just keep doing what you're doing. That it may be well with you. You know what well is? Finding the right husband, finding the right wife. You know what well is? Getting all the money you need. You know what well is? Staying in your healing. You know what well is? Not suffering everything else that all the other kids in high school are suffering. That it may be well with you and that you'll live long on the earth. Amen. How does that come? Through obedience and honor. Amen. That's not acceptable.
That's right.
And I'll tell you what, parents, if you let that go in your house, that's your fault.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you don't walk away from us, buddy. You walk away with a smile. And you talk to us in a certain way. I'm just telling you how it is in our house.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to be dishonorable.
That's right.
He's not allowed to give us attitude. Attitude's not allowed in our home.
That's good.
Nope. Some parents, kids run the show, man. My kid doesn't want this. Your point? What's your point?
Yeah.
Are they the boss now? Be the parent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Be the parent. Do you want them to go the right way or the wrong way? Be the parent. They don't know the right way. In fact, the Bible says they have youthful lust. Their flesh is going to be dragging them into wrong things. But you're going to be right there, vigilant in their lives, checking their phones, checking their computers, finding out who they're hanging out with. Why? Because their flesh is going to... And the devil's trying to get our kids. Not going to happen. Who else is going to tell you this? Your pastor's going to. Because he loves you. If anything, what benefit does it give me? It gives me a chance for people to be mad and offended at me. Someone needs to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. So children, you need to honor mom and dad. You might not get it all the time, and you might not understand it all the time, but the Bible says if you'll honor them and you'll obey them, that it'll be well with you. You can stand on that promise. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Y'all just waiting for the next topic. Ooh, what's it going to be? I hope it's not about me. It's more fun when it's about them. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Are you ready?
Amen.
Listen up, single folk. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When you're in a marriage, you're yoked together. My life goes as this marriage goes. In fact, Paul said this to Timothy. He said, the way that your church is going to go is the way your home life goes. We're attached.
Right.
Now, let me also temper it with this. If you have a spouse that's just not into God and just not doing things right, start believing for them. Start praying for them. Hope's not lost.
That's right.
I'm talking to people that have... the choice right now and the chance right now. You just get into faith. That's what you would do. That's how you change sickness and anything. You get into faith. You start speaking the right things. You start confessing the word. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he a believer with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Bible says to be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I'll just say it as plain as I can say, you marry the wrong person, your life will be hell on earth.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
It's just the truth. You marry the wrong person, your life will be hell on earth. And when you're in a place of being single and still have the choice, listen, I understand it's nature to want to be with somebody. It's biblical to want to be with somebody. The Bible says it is not good that man would be alone. That God's idea was marriage, companionship, someone to share things with, talk with. He knows that. The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. God is pro-marriage. But he's pro you marrying the one that he has for you. He'll let you have whatever you want. But I suggest you follow the Holy Ghost and don't ever get involved with somebody that doesn't love Jesus. I'm just telling you the truth. Life will be hell for you because you'll have a passion to serve God and they won't. And that's hard for people. And again, if I'm talking to you, you're one of those people, you get into faith. You dig in, you say, I'm going to just track this thing with faith. I'm going to shower this spouse with love and prayers and kindness and goodness. I'm going to stand on what the Word says I can stand on, and I'm going to change that situation. So don't you get in condemnation if you're thinking, I'm one of the people he's talking about marrying. Don't you do that. That's not the point of today's message. But let me tell you something. It's worth the wait, single folk. And I know what you're thinking. You're telling me to marry a Christian? Pastor, we have 10 people in our church. As if God can't move outside these walls. As if God can't, if you'll put, all he needs, he doesn't need your opinion, he doesn't need your, you know, doing all the statistics of people, he doesn't need that. He needs your faith. And if you're single from this day forward, if you want to get married, what you say is, Father, you said I could be married. You said it was a good thing, and you said you're for it. If you have a desire to be married, it's all yours if you want it. So, Father, I thank you right now, as you would do anything, for a godly spouse. And then you just cast that care onto him, and when you come in here, young ladies, and the slim pickings of the young guys, and the thoughts start to come, what in the world do I do? You don't worry, you've already cast that on the guy. He's already working things out for you. Bringing him, getting him ready. Hallelujah. You don't give in. Be patient. Wait for the right one. Wait for the right one. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. You can have a spouse. You can go out and get a boyfriend or girlfriend. You can do it the world's way, but you'll have sorrow with it. Why would you want anyone that doesn't know how to treat you like Jesus said you need to be treated? Ladies, you deserve to be cherished. Ladies, you deserve to be honored. And I'll tell you what, husbands, if you're not doing it, get on the ball. Meant to be honored. And I'll tell you what, ladies, and if you're not showing reverence and respect, doesn't mean you're a doormat. Reverence and respect to your husband, get on the ball. It's just the truth. Doesn't mean you're a doormat and be submissive to the point of abuse. That's not what God, that's not the way God. See, I'm submissive to Jesus because it's so simple, because he loves me so much. Amen. And if the husbands would love their wives the way Christ loved the church, the women would be way more submissive. Because it's easy to submit to love. Amen. So get on the ball, husbands and wives. Both do your part and boom, you'll have a marriage of heaven on earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessing of the Lord makes rich. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. It adds no sorrow with it. Go with God's one. Amen. Well, not only that, but associations. Doesn't the Bible say, come out from among them, be clean, touch not the unclean thing? You know, Jesus went where the sinners were, right? We need to be around the sinners. That's what we're trying to do. But we don't do what the sinners do. And let me just dispel a myth here that is such garbage. We got to live like the world to reach them. That is such lies. Well, I got to do what the world does to reach them. Garbage! Do police officers help people? Absolutely they do. You know, just like anything, you'll have a bad cop, right? I mean, just like at Walmart, you'll have a bad worker. Just like preacher, you have a bad preacher. But we're instilling in our children, you respect law enforcement. They're there to help you and to serve you. We have great... If I pull up in a line anywhere in a store, I buy whatever they're getting every single time. I don't care how big the order is because I want to show honor because so many people out bashing them anyway. Police officers help people. Well, I've yet to see a police officer that goes and helps a person and they say to them, they look up and they say, can you take your uniform off and become like me? I can't be helped until you become like me. You don't have to become a sinner to reach a sinner. What will reach a sinner is the love and power of God. Doesn't mean you tip your nose up in the air And when they're doing things that I'll tell you what, that judgmental Christian attitude needs to be flushed down the toilet. Jesus came across a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. He didn't flip his nose up at her and tell how bad she was. He loved her and just told her, just stop doing it, honey. Just quit. And these Christians that, you know, maybe at family gatherings or maybe at times when you're around people that don't know Jesus and they do things, that's not our time to be uppity and look down on them. That's our time to just show the love of God. But don't participate. Don't go and talk and do and experience the same things. That's called sin. That's called wages coming your way. Amen? Bible says, and I'll tell you what, you'll find that when you live a Christian lifestyle, you will lose friends. Just get ready. You will lose family members. I'm pro-family. But you will find, because of Jesus. Jesus said, think not that I've come to bring a peace. I've come to bring a sword. I will set man against father, woman against her mother. He said, the enemies of a man will be of his own household. That's what the word does. Not that he wants it to happen, but that's what the word will do. I can't tell you how many people that don't want to be friends with me anymore that I would still love to be friends with. Sorry, I don't want to go to the bars and get drunk anymore. Sorry, I don't want to put that stuff in my body. I still love you. Like, was that what everything was based on? Was it based on the drink? Was it based on all the wild living? Is that what you like me for? Because I'm willing to still be your friend, and but you don't want anything to do with me anymore. Well, that's not my fault. But I love them. We don't do what they do. Amen? Well, Romans 12:2, we'll close here. Whew. That's all I had on my list. That's all I had on my list. Romans 12. You know, there's things that might not even be a sin, but if I do them in my position, it will cause people to stumble. There are things that are in your life that might not technically be a sin, but if you're trying to reach people, you need to check your heart and make sure, is what I'm doing causing people to stumble at my actions? Because it's not worth it if it is.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Aren't we trying to, Paul said this, he said, if you go and you eat something and it's offensive to somebody, he said, I just won't eat it. Yeah. Like if he went to a dinner with somebody that maybe couldn't eat pork, he said, I'm not going to sit there and slam down barbecue pork sandwich in front of them.
Right.
I'm gonna be loving, right? And not do that. So Romans 12 says this in verse 2. Be not conformed to the world. There it is. Come out from the world. But be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. These things cannot be just caught in one message. They need to be meditated on. Minds need to be renewed on these things. Repentance maybe needs to be had by people. But it's time that we just, here's what I would ask you to do. If you will, is that Abby? Holy cow. I tell you, sometimes the pastor's kids give the nursery workers the run for the money the worst. I hear about some of the other kids in church, it cracks me up when the pastor's wives tell me, and how sheepishly sometimes the workers come and say, your son just punched somebody in the face. So it's so hard to tell. Okay, let's spank him. Oh, Abby's probably back there having a doozy. But here's what I would ask you. Those things that, you know, in the Word you know you need to change, or in your marriages or in your life, just bring your life before God. Consecrate. Lay it on the altar to Him and say, Father, is there anything that's hindering my walk with You? Is there anything that's hindering me from being the best ambassador that I can be for Jesus? And then if He points some things out, just make the adjustments. Make the changes. Amen?
Amen?
He loves you. He's not trying to hurt you or make you upset or embarrass you. The way we would have embarrassed you is to call names out. That's not right. Wouldn't I just be making, you know, Caleb, you're the Taco Bell guy.
I do not like Taco Bell.
Face full of peanut butter and jelly tacos. He'd be there every day. Praise the Lord. So let's call up higher for the new year. Let's endeavor to change and to raise our standards up to what God has for us. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we love You so much. We're so grateful. So thankful for the Word this morning. The Word helps us, Father. You're not mad at us or mad at anybody. And Father, as I preach this message, my goodness, my heart was getting talked to maybe more than anyone. Father, I want to go up higher. If you can say honestly here today, yes, Pastor, I want to be used by God. I want to go up higher. you can never go up higher without having to give up. He's always going to talk to you about things that are holding you down. So if you're true about that and serious, then don't get mad when he does point out things. Don't get offended. Don't get upset and angry. He's so loving and cares about you. You love us so much, Father. Jesus had to live a certain way to be effective. We have to live a certain way to be effective. Father, there's things that if I did would cause people in this church to stumble, would cause people from wanting to come to this church. I don't want to be that way, Father. I want to be available to reach everybody. So, Father, I thank you. You're talking to hearts and speaking to hearts. I thank you. Changes are made. Help is given to people that need help. Marriages are made better. Children are made stronger. Relationships and people that are waiting, their faith is on that, and they're waiting for the right person. You're a God that hears them when they pray, and they're not limited by going to a small church in the country. They're only limited if they can't believe you, and you're the God of the impossible. You can do what seems impossible. So I thank you for that, Father. Thank you for those things. We bless you, Father. We glorify you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, real quick, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If your answer isn't 100% heaven, then you need Jesus. And the awesome thing about it is he made it simple. He said, if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If you believe in Jesus and want to receive him, he says you can. Just open your heart, accept him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're listening by live stream, if you want to receive Jesus for the first time, nobody's looking around. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Would you just lift your hand? Anybody at all? Anybody at all want to receive Jesus here this morning? Father, I don't see any hands in the building, but that doesn't mean that there's not any listening by live stream or archives in the future. And if you are one of those people, I pray that you would not pass from this life till you've made Jesus your Lord. And all that entails is just saying, Lord, I do believe in you. I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. You all are awesome. Love you again. Thank you so much for all the blessings. Have an awesome week. Don't forget, no Wednesday service. See you next Sunday at 10 o'clock.